I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Something a little bit different today. I know I've been getting a few messages from you guys about NRL Fantasy, so I thought I'd get Cam Murray's long-lost brother on. Jamie from the NRL Fantasy Analysis, mates. How are we?
I'm very well. How are you doing, mate?
Mate, good, good. A Teamless Tuesday just around the corner. Both of us, both our platforms, you know, we're very excited. We're very on edge because coaches can just absolutely throw spanners in the works and kill us. But how's the preseason been for you boys on the dark side?
It's been amazing, actually. You've got plenty of love. So big thank you and a big shout out to all those guys. I jumped into the Supercoach world as well. So slowly dipping my toe in. I think it's going to take a good year for me to get some traction on that side. But all been love on that world too. So thanks to all the Supercoach crew.
They can be very ruthless at times, the old Supercoach crew. So you need to pull your socks up. But no, you've been doing some Supercoach stuff and it's been great to see. I jumped on to give your fantasy guys a bit of an insight into Supercoach and you know, we'll get you on today to do a bit of fantasy stuff. We'll plug the group code. I just made a league. So it's ERCWVCXP. I'll put it in descriptions for audio for YouTube guys. It's on the screen. But I guess a little bit of credentials about yourself, mate. What's been happening and how have you formed to be what you are and yeah, you know, your experience in fantasy?
Well, I was thinking it's probably been close to the best day of the year for about 15 years for me. It's been a long time in the fantasy world since I was about sort of 13 or 14. I've been loving it ever since and always had this sort of goal of wanting to make some content or wanting Chris Kennedy's job, if anyone knows who he is, works for NRL.com there, and wanting to be that podcast guy.
He's the Sangster of the fantasy world, basically.
Yeah, from the good old days. So there's just been no content out and then COVID came around and I was like, yeah, just do it. Get in there. And it's just, you know, slowly grown the amount of videos I'm making each year. The consistency on that has grown as well and getting plenty of love on that. So yeah, it's just been a nice journey. And I personally haven't done as well since I've made content. I think I'm spending most of my time helping other people out, which is the goal of it all. But yeah, my best year is 50th. I came first overall in Cowboys fans as well. So always been, yeah, that top 1,000 type of player, but, you know, pretty normal for anyone that plays regularly, right?
Brother, you are preaching to the choir. My first year making content, I was a perennial top 1,000 finisher in Supercoach. I think I had 6 top 1,000 finishes in a row. made Supercoach content for the first time and came like 18th K. So it happens. But I guess a little bit about me in fantasy. It was my first year last year. Somehow managed to jag a 200th. Don't ask me how. But
that's incredible.
Yeah, pretty happy with that.
TK's helped the whole time.
So. Oh, mate, shout out to TK. Talking League Boys, fantastic. I think, yeah, pretty proud. I think if you're looking at like Supercoach and Fantasy combined, I'd probably be first overall last year, I'd want to say.
Ah, crazy. Yeah. Crazy year. So well done to that.
And yeah, we're going to crash and burn this year. We're going to jump into a little bit of the basics, I guess, for Supercoach guys I've never played. The big differences, why certain players are relevant in Supercoach, why certain players aren't irrelevant in Fantasy. For example, Alex Johnson in Supercoach compared to someone like a Jackson Hastings in Fantasy. You know, both those guys on very different ends of the spectrum across both formats. But yeah, I guess talk to us about the scoring and why fantasy is probably a little bit less volatile than Supercoach and why it's probably a better indicator of consistency over the course of the season.
Yeah, well, we'll obviously get into your team as well, but you've gone pretty heavy in the middles there. And yeah, a position like hooker is also pretty good. And then the halves as well, obviously similar to Supercoach there, but the halves actually get kick meters. So you divide that by 3. And you get that, you get points for that as well. So that's a big one, which doesn't happen in Supercoach, where, you know, guys like Cleary obviously going to be great in general, but those kick meters, if he gets 500, 600 kick meters, that just adds on to that, which is lovely there as well. But yeah, the biggest thing is obviously with the 25-man squad you guys have and the 21 that we have in fantasy does make it a little bit different. I know in previous years in Supercoach, you could hold that guy that you thought was going to get a chance at some point in the year, right?
Yeah. Whereas this year now with buys, it's just, you can't do it, I don't think.
Yeah, it makes it a lot harder, and even a lot harder in fantasy as well, just with the 21. So what you're looking for in a starting squad here is just pretty much everyone playing, unless you, you know, if there's a Dragons is a bit of a weird one because there's not a lot of great options. But just say we had Tyrell Sloan, who was clear that he was going to get that spot for the year and he was going to do pretty well at that cheap price. You'd lock him into your side because you know he's going to be there. But it's probably pretty hard to actually take a few of those Dragons players or even one of them, just with the fact that we don't know how they're going to go, but how the individual player is going to go. So you really want to be pretty clear on these cheapies, especially that they're going to get a role for at least 3 or 4 weeks. Even guys like Isaac Thompson is a little bit scary for us. If he doesn't get that spot, then you're looking at playing multiple of these cheap guys. And so we'll look into your squad as well. But you've got Katoni Sags, which might be just a good option to shore up that center position. So yeah, scoring-wise, that's some of the bigger changes there, is that the attacking stats are just over doubled. So try 17 compared to 8, which is crazy. You guys get try contributions as well, which we don't get. It's just that last pass or that kick. Sometimes they'll get the bat back as well if it's a kick and bat back to the player. But generally, yeah, attacking stats aren't as crazy. Tackle busts are the same. Offloads are the same there. So really just that side of the ball there. And then
run meters as well.
Run meters is a little bit different, but generally similar. Like, you know, a guy could make, if they make that 80 meter run, you get the 8 points. So divided by 10 there. Whereas you guys just get the 2 points for that run, right?
Yeah, anything over 8 meters is 2 points. So for example, someone like Payne Haas, he runs for 180 meters. For the Broncos, that's 18 points. So your run meters divided by 10, really good indicator. Your kick meters divided by 3. That's why guys in the years gone past, like, I don't know, Adam Reynolds, obviously Nathan Cleary, like these guys that just punt all day long. It's why Matt Burton last year for fantasy was so elite. For Supercoach, he was okay, but, you know, he was the sole kicking option, and he was just phenomenal. So, yeah, plenty of differences there. Your trades work a bit different as well. It's not sort of a flat 2 a year, or in Supercoach, you know, we get the boosts, and then during bye, we get 5, whereas fantasy, they've done it. I like the way fantasy do it because it sort of keeps everyone engaged a little bit more.
Yeah, that just changed last year, and with the COVID ball stuff, with people being out for that, so they changed it there. And yeah, I think it definitely is helpful for guys that, you know, looking to play the whole season, because you see obviously our content, the amount of people watching our videos, it kind of stops a lot of the time around 18, around 19 for the majority of guys. So
It sort of caps. So what's the exact breakdown? So it's 2 for the first how many rounds, and then it opens up after that, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's right. We end up with 4 for the majority of the time through the middle part of the year, but then they save us 8 trades for the last 7 rounds.
And that gets added, doesn't it? It's not like it's there to you. It's like you basically have a hard limit, and then it opens up giving you more trades at the end of the season.
That's right. We'll start with 34, and then we'll end up with 8 extra at the end to make it 42 in total. So they, like Supercoach, they bumped up those trades this year with it being the first year that we've done this, really, which is, I'm super excited about the buys every week. It's going to make it hard, but I'm very excited for that as well. And then just the last thing, the big difference, guys, is our prices change week to week. So in Supercoach, obviously, you have to wait 3 games until price changes happen. If Trent Lioro comes out or Sean Bloor gets a start and he comes out and absolutely kills it, he could go up 60, 70K in that first game. So that's where the importance of actually picking the correct cash cows comes into effect. Obviously, if you do get it wrong and you miss them, you can pick them up, but you're missing out on that sort of 50, 60K. And if you're trying to trade a dud, cheapie, a 250K guy for someone who's now 300 and you haven't left 50K in the bank, that makes it really difficult. So yeah, there's a little interest there as potentially leaving 50 to 100K. If you've got 2 guys, one's a little bit cheaper than the other, and that leaves you with a bit in the bank, that could be a way to go as well. So yeah, very interesting. And then obviously those early buys is going to be a pretty big factor as well. If you've got 2 or 3 from the same team, we'll speak about yours there with a few of the Roosters guys. That could be a slight issue in that squad, and just something to think about.
Definitely. Also, 21-man team, 10 million salary cap, and no looping, which is a big difference between fantasy and Supercoach. Your captains are locked in. 8 o'clock Thursday, they cannot be touched.
Yeah, definitely no captaincy loop. We can loot normal players, but the captaincy is, unfortunately, Gornskis.
And that's why probably the Dragons guys aren't worth it, because, you know, in Supercoach, you do get the loop option, but you also get 3 weeks then to make money, whereas in fantasy, you're leaving cash on the table. But we'll jump into my team right now. I don't claim to be any kind of expert here, but we'll give it a bit of a breakdown. Currently left 33K in the bank. Up top, we've got Brandon Smith. Is this one a no-brainer? In Supercoach, it seems like it, but what's the expert's opinion in the fantasy space?
Exact same world. He's someone that could come out and average 50 plus in fantasy, which is delightful. You know, keeper level territory.
We probably we probably should go over that in terms of scoring. What's good and what's it's great. Anything over 50 is like keeper level, isn't it?
Yeah, for the most part. So these mids that you're looking at here, you got Payne Haas, who's averaged over 60 for the majority of his career. Tarpany got into that world last year, get that high 50s. You know, Carrigan's been a 50 type of scorer. Potentially has some updates this year. Cleary has been, you know, we had Tommy Turbo's year a couple of years ago when he averaged, what, 130 for you guys?
Yeah.
Cleary's been that guy on a more consistent basis for fantasy. So he had a bit of a lower year last year. The year before that, he averaged an 82, and he's had a high 60s, 70s from there as well. So he's that guy. As I said, he does everything across the park. You know, the Clearys, the Hines, these guys, they're kicking goals. They're kicking in general play. They're tackling. They're running lots of meters, the tackle breaks, the offloads, you know, so on. So they're the types of guys. The halves, you want, you know, 60 plus for your guns. Centers is obviously the main tough one because it's only centers for us. And they're the guys, if you can get a 40 plus in the centers, you're absolutely cheering. So Staggs, for example, he's averaging 37 last year, carried a few injuries and bits and pieces, and the Broncos fell away. If he can come out and do what he can do, he's a low 40s type of scorer, which would be great. If you can lock him in, obviously, with the late buy, then that's where he could be a great pick. For example, wing fullbacks, 50 plus. Teddy's been a guy that's around that 60 mark. But there's a big drop off from him, Pat Luttrell. It's like Drinky is fourth, and he averaged 47 last year. So there's that there as well. And interchange guys, for the start, you're looking anywhere in the 35 to 45 range would be like awesome if you did that for all unit change. On average, you're flying there. Edges is obviously, yeah, pretty similar to the rest, but it's just that center position that's really tough to navigate. And you obviously kind of want a gun in each and every spot. So at the moment with, you know, the hooker position there with Smithy and you've got Boydie as cover, that seems to be pretty common. You know, at the moment, it's like, do you go Grant, Smith and Boyd? Do you just go Smith and Boyd and use cash elsewhere? If you think Smithy can average 50, you know, he's owned by half the teams there. Then yeah, you miss out. If you don't have him in your team, you're going to fall behind, which is the same as Supercoach, right?
Yeah, definitely. I think he's pushing 50%. With your cash cows, obviously we're looking for 10 points of value. That's sort of the gold standard for all my Supercoach guys out there. Obviously NRL Supercoach stats on Google is the holy grail for stats. But footy statistics for you guys is, it's incredible. I've been playing around with it, you know, in recent weeks. You can filter by minutes played, by position, by, you know, whenever. So you can have a look at value, and I'll link that in the description and the bio for the podcast, guys. But footy statistics is fantastic. As you've mentioned, look, in Supercoach, I've always been a proponent of trying to go as cheap as possible and sort of in front row forward. Fantasy is a little bit different. You guys have middle, so that includes your locks and your props. We've just gone big. Haas, Tarpany, Carrigan.
Yeah, I don't really see an issue there at all with that top three. Haas had a down year last year, carried so many injuries, so he's got value. Carrigan, probably a little bit more value. Look, he looks so big and strong in that trials, and that kind of locked it in for me. And he's coming off, you know, second year ACL. Tarpany, if he can continue what he did in the back end of last year, then everyone's going to want him in their side, especially over that middle period. I'm just a little bit scared that it's a bit of a one-hit wonder, and I think he's still going to do well. But the amount of times in the past that I've gone into the next season off half a year's stats from these types of guys, when, you know, maybe they'll just feeling fully fit and you know, the team was rolling, which they were, and it's burnt me in the past. I don't think Tarpany's that guy that's going to burn me, but that's just something that I've thought of. When you play for a long time, you carry these things in your mind. Reed Marnie last year, there's zero chance of starting with him for that reason. So,
Tarpany, is he sort of priced at his max, you feel? Obviously, Haas has got reason for growth, and so does Carrigan. Is Tarpany sort of at his max and you're buying him at keeper level? Like, there's no money to be made here?
There's definitely a little bit there. So if he scores like he did in that middle part of the year, then he then got a rib injury. Yeah, listening to, and if you haven't joined yet, guys, join the Patreon for NRL Physio if you're a serious fantasy or super coach here. There's just plenty of info on there. And he spoke about Tarpany getting that rib injury, and you see his stats just drop a little bit from there. So if he continues that how he was before the rib injury, he has about 5 points of value. He can be that 60 type of scorer. He's priced about that 54 to 55, sorry, there.
Lovely. We move into the edges. We've got Egan Butcher and Teague Wilton. Both these guys are massive on in Supercoach. Maybe a little bit of bias coming over across fantasy, but I know you're a big Egan fan this year for fantasy. You know, if he's locking down that edge spot, you know, much better pick than that, you reckon?
I think so. I was pretty high on that as well, but they unfortunately, yeah, I know Supercoach is just directly on how they scored last year, unless they played like one or two games.
Yeah.
But
oh,
guys
we should,
like
yeah, we should mention that as well. Like, yeah, fantasy, yeah. There's a bit of human element with your pricing, whereas Supercoach, as you said, it's just a flat average based off last year.
Yeah, someone like Nat, for example, with Satili Tupanoa being out for the first couple of months, they just bumped his scoring, his price up about 3.5, about a 3.5 average, which does kill a bit of value. Still got a little bit there, but I just think that 3.5 is so important to have. And he did score a lot of tries last year, so can he keep that up, for example? But he's, you know, 120K more expensive than Egan, who we've seen have games where he's had really good base, right? Mm. And then he's had games there where he can score tries as well, playing through the middle, a bit on the edge. And it sounds like, unfortunately, for Angus Crichton, he's got a lot to deal with at the moment. And at a minimum, he'll be out that first month. But it does sound like a lot longer. So Egan, at worst, if he does happen to move from that edge to the middle, you're not going to lose out a heap, considering they've lost Siwa Takiaho as well. So really, we're picking him as a gun edge who I think can average 50. And that would get him up to over 700K in fantasy. Just the big one there is obviously his buy in round 4. And if you're carrying a few of these Roosters guys like you are, that's definitely something to think about. But more, I think the worry will be in your half and hooker position rather than on the edge, because there's so many guys you'll see on the bench there, the Hopgoods, who will get dual position as well.
Yeah,
40, Leoro, those types of guys. So
we'll touch on the bench when we get to it, but it is important, similar to, I guess, how Supercoach guys I've recommended, if you play draft, to try and grab as much bench cover as possible in fantasy. From what I can tell from my limited knowledge, it's important to try and cover a multitude of positions, and we'll touch on that shortly. But at half, you know, this was Nicho Hynes until about 24 hours ago. In Supercoach, yep. I can understand the appeal of holding him for a week, but you're probably splitting hairs in fantasy with Cleary and Hynes. It's not a game where you can hold both. I mean, not feasibly, in my opinion. So pick one or the other, and Hynes is out for at least a week. And Cleary, basically, lock and load captain. If you're not going Cam Murray, then Cleary's probably your next best captain option. So I'm assuming I'm not going to see any pushback from you on this one.
No, look, he should be my captain with Hynes out. I'm between both, with Cleary having the round 3 bye. You just got to have an idea of who you're going to captain in round 3. So you've got Haas, you've got Tarpany, you got these types of guys who I think you're going to be, you know, solid enough to captain and should be able to score you a 60 anyway. And just the Wilton one, obviously, he with his try-scoring ability, I think he can continue that all year. With tries being so important in Supercoach, I think he's a no-brainer. He's in my Supercoach side as well. I'm an Anaring with him in fantasy just for the fact that there are cheaper guys on offer. Mm-hmm. And if I can get a clear gun in another position who I know is 100% going to do well, then we'll go with that. Wilton is someone that could, you know, score two tries and get you like a 55 in fantasy sometimes.
Yep.
And then I suppose the versatility is good that in some games he can give you that 40 tackle. So yeah, I think he's pretty safe as well. And Butcher.
Who are some other guys?
You can go both.
Who are some other guys you mentioned that are cheaper that you would sort of target if you weren't going Wilton, for example?
Well, someone that you don't have in this side is Eli Katoa, right? Yes. So he's someone that, you know, close to 100K cheaper that could slot in easily as a nice downgrade, who I'm playing between him, Leoro at the moment, Wilton, Butcher, mm-hmm. Hopgood. You can sort of have like six edges or so. Matt Dury, you've got Sean Bloor. There's so many guys there that you could play around with. And it depends. Like, I'm tempted to go Harry Grant at hooker as well. So to get the funds for that, I have to obviously relinquish a little bit elsewhere. But yeah, I think all those options are going to be good. Sammy Walker, I'm interested. I just wanted to touch on this before we go ahead further.
Big narrative pick here.
Hey?
Big narrative.
I'm completely fine with picking him. I'm tempted to do it. But the fact that he's going to be out in that 4.
Yeah.
Let's have a little look at this. You've got Walkers who are going to be out. You're going to have Brandon Smith out as well in the same week. Your cover is Tanner Boyd.
So I don't have Ellie. I don't have Isaiah Katoa, which I'm still very, you know, probably going to pick up. It's just a case of, do I pick him up for Warbrick? Because I do have a little bit of center. I do have a little bit of wing fullback cover. So Warbrick could definitely become Katoa, which does make the Walker pick probably being able to stomach that a little bit more.
It's more just the cover bit. So you could play Luke at hooker in that round, mm-hmm. and you could play Boydie at half in that round. Obviously, just leaves you a bit light, but yeah, potentially there's trades that can happen in that first few weeks as well. So is that more the way you're thinking of it?
Yeah, I mean, if Hastings comes out and looks really good, you know, Walker to Hastings could be on the cards if he's goal kicking. We know Walker's goal kicking. We know he's locked into goal kicking. And I'm still, you know, not sure with what's going on with KP. I mean, Barry Toohey says he's probably going to be goal kicking, but the trial indicated otherwise. So
yeah,
I'm just not sure. Like, definitely an option to downgrade there. Cheese and Butcher aren't moving from my side, so Walker's the one that could go out. I mean, could bring Boyd in to start and then bump up the bench a little bit there as well. But yeah, I started with Sam Walker last year. Wasn't overly fantastic, but happy to buy in again. His stats, I'm not too sure what he's looking like in fantasy, but his stats in Supercoach, man, from 5'8 to halfback were just night and day.
Yeah, it's a big change. He obviously got more kick commanders as well, which is good for us. But yeah, the attacking stats for Supercoach, I have him as a better buy slightly in Supercoach, but I find it very difficult to fit him in, right? When you've got your Cleary is your guy. If you had Walker in the 5'8 position, it'd be amazing, right?
Yeah, definitely be perfect. So that's the halves. Center, it's tough in fantasy. I mean, I've got Stags there, as you said, as sort of a mainstay. Could be Suali'i if, you know, when he does get the duel, I'm assuming later on today. Could be him, but then that means more Roosters and it's really off-putting. Paul Alamotti looks just like a big body, you know, center. It's not really... It's tough, center. I mean, you and I've chatted to you about this sort of for the past month, and you and I always just come back to center. It's just so gross.
Yeah. My good thing with Alamotti that kind of stuck him as a close to a starter in my side from round one, he's definitely going to be in the team, is the fact that they didn't play very well the other day in that trial. And, you know, Burton got 10, for example, and he played, what, 60 minutes or so. Alamotti still managed to get 25, which is actually not too bad in a team where he didn't score any tries or anything like that. For him to get 25 in base, you know, the odd tackle break, good run meters, good tackles. I was really, really impressed by that. So to get 25 in that type of game means that when they do score well, and there will be games like even, you know, the game against Manly on the weekend, that's going to be a little bit easier than what they face in that Sharks trial. So Alamotti, I think, is a lock in my side. Most likely going to start him. Yeah, if he can get some consistency there in the mid-20s and then some upside on with tries and try assists. Yeah, he's got Addo Carr on his side. He's got Kikau. He's got Burton. We know how good that left side is going to be. So locked and loaded he is. And I'm happy, completely happy with the Stags pick. I'm tempted to either play close to a gun or a mid-range type of player in the wing fullback or the center. So anyone that's suggesting doing that in their own side, lock and load. Fullbacks is going to be a fun one though too.
What's the fantasy outlook on someone like a Val Holmes?
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I prefer him in Supercoach. Same deal. The goals being four, the tries and contributions and stuff being higher as well. He had lots of games last year. I'm sure it was very similar in Supercoach where he'd get like a 70 or an 80, which probably be 100 or so for you guys. And then he had a game where he got 13 last year in fantasy, which you're paying that much for is just an absolute killer when Alamotti could come out and get a 40 or 50.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 500K price difference is, or close to it, is a... is a killer there.
So who are some lock and load guns in that center position?
There's him. There's guys like Jack Bird.
Yeah.
Who again, they don't start. We've got Campbell Grahams. I like Isaiah Tass as like a awkward price as well, like Stagsy there. But Joey Manu's the king. But yeah, again, how's he going to go in the center position? We know his splits between center and fullback and 5'8" are crazy different. So does he rove? Does he play that roving role? We don't know.
Also,
a bit, but
does have a round two bye, but really keen on Cooler. I reckon we could see a big breakout.
He looked so good
Cooler
in that trial, didn't he? That right side was incredible.
Yeah. Let's talk fullback because it's you know very different in both games. I mean, Supercoach, it's a minimum two guns, and that's not debatable. Whereas in fantasy, it's you can probably skip out a little bit here. I've got Tommy Talau. Does have that center wing fullback cover, you know, probably in a perfect world, he'd play center for me, probably a better spot to put him in. And I'm not locked into having him at wing fullback, but he looked really good in that right-hand side, ran a really good line for his try. He's just a big body. He's coming back from ACL. So he will definitely take a little bit to get work into. Jesse McLean has come into this. I mean, we talk on the fantasy pricing being different. I mean, Sunira Taruva is nearly 500K, I want to say, 470 or something like that in fantasy.
Crazy.
Yeah, ridiculous. And then Lachie Miller from the Knights. So let's break down these guys, and if you think we can improve. There is 33K in the bank, and, you know, we can move Walker down to Boyd and maybe Boyd to a Katara or something to free up some cash if we need to. But what are we thinking with wing fullback?
I think you go top gun in Teddy, who, again, I think had a bit of a down year last year.
Mm-hmm.
And their start's obviously great, but again, round four bye, and how many Roosters players are you going to hold? There's that. There's the Latrell, but they have a really tough start. I don't think it hurts them too much, but I can see him having a 25 or something like that in one of those first few weeks, and you want to pay close to 800K for that type of player.
Well, Latrell's interesting because in Supercoach, you know, he floats in and out of games and will rack up quick points in attack, whereas in fantasy, you know, run meters are big and attack is not so, you know, so thought of. Is he still considered a gun in fantasy?
Yeah, him and Teddy averaged pretty well the same last year, so... obviously, just with how the Rabbitohs go. If the Rabbitohs are playing well, which I expect them to be, I expect them to come fourth this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to go great. They've got such a good side. He's going to benefit from that. They can come up against great teams, but I still think they're going to win, you know, half or more against those top teams. So I really don't see he's the big issue. It's just a lot to pay up front. For, as he said, run meters, he's someone that doesn't, he's not a king for run meters compared to like Teddy and the Tots and these types of guys. So I just think you have to leave him out. If they had the draw that the Roosters have, you know, and they weren't having that round four bye, the Dolphins and stuff in there, you could see him racking up hundreds, but I think you just leave him out. Drinkwater's someone I'm interested in, though, as well. I know some of the other top coaches in fantasy are also, just for the fact that he doesn't have a bye all the way through to that round 15 there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tasty.
Yeah, and my only climb with the Cowboys, everyone says they have a really, really easy draw. Cowboys, you know, had an amazing year last year. I'm a Cowboys fan, so I don't really have a lot of bias, actually. I actually don't think they have the easiest draw ever. Like, everyone's saying it's going to be easy, but Raiders first up, are they easy? I don't see them.
It's a lot
easy.
Of middling teams. It's a lot of teams from, say 7th to 12th who are on the improve.
Yeah, so I don't see the big craziness out of it. But Drinky's some one of those guys. He's actually a lot more consistent than what Val Holmes was. So mm-hmm. if you wanted to go at that similar price point, go for a wing fullback in him over a center in Holmes. Even though he does goal kick Holmes, guys, it's only 2 points. So you have to be, you know, hitting 6-7 goals for it to really make a big difference.
But what I think is crazy is you guys don't lose points for missed kicks, which is something Supercoach does contend with.
I think I like that better. I think I like the 4-2.
Yeah, so better. Do I. So do I. A lot of things fantasy do well, but I do like the missed. I think you do need to be punished. You shouldn't just have a free shot at getting points. Now, you mentioned Brian To'o, and we'll touch on my wing fullbacks in a second, but him moving back to the left, obviously PVL ball is a bit of an outlier, but are you seeing much value in him at you know, on the left-hand side? Is the round three bye putting you off, or are you happy to work past that?
It's putting me off. That's interesting, isn't it? That 1 year where he absolutely dominated, and he's a must-have if he goes back anywhere close to that year, but he's only had that 1 year, and he's played for, what, four now, I believe?
Yeah.
And hasn't really had that keeper-level scores in the other years. Obviously, moving, you know, injury and then moving to the right last year definitely hampered him. I can see him scoring better on that left, even without kick out on that side. Obviously, just, you know, left side is strong side for Panthers, but for the majority of the league. So I can see an uptick, but how much of an uptick it is and how early in the season that is. Like, I've probably got him at 5 points of value, which is solid with chance to go up. But around three bye in that tough wing fullback position, it means you're going to have to play someone cheap like a Talau, like a Warbrick, like a McLean there, which, yeah, I'm definitely just more keen. If McLean gets a spot, he's a lock. He's locked and loaded and starting.
Well, yeah,
side.
I think he had 18 runs, 180 metres, 5 tackle busts, 2 offloads in the trial. So that's promising. That's really, really promising. I think that's, you know, promising signs there. I mean, Lachie Miller, what are we thinking with him? He's just a really good price, I feel.
Got to lock him in.
Yeah.
Very different to Supercoach. I think he's way too expensive as Supercoach in a new team. But in fantasy, he pretty well is going to get his average that he's priced at just in the run meters and tackle breaks. And then anything on top of that's gravy. And a lot of that stuff he can just do himself. Kick returns, loves the ball in his hands, loves running the footy. If Knights can play okay, they have a pretty solid draw to kick off a lot of those middling teams as well. So, lock him in. Talau, I think I was really happy with the second trial for him. So
much better. Much better.
Yeah, first one wasn't good. So to see Talau come in and playing on that right side with Adam Dewey, he's going to have his ball, hands on the ball a lot. And then when Bateman and these guys come back as well, it's going to be even better. But yeah, I think Talau, you have to have in your side with the dual position. It's just gold covering that center and the wing fullback. Mm-hmm. Whether you play him or not is another story. He's currently in my emergencies, but definitely can play him. And might be a bit of a matchup base. I know you guys are, you and Supercoach are massive on matchups and fair play. All you need is a try and you kind of got a good score there. So I think he's a matchup based type of guy.
Yeah, I think when you're going Haas, Tarpany, and Carrigan, you've got to make some sacrifices elsewhere, and wing fullback and centre are probably the positions that I'm keen on doing it on, just with how less priority they are to your middles.
Yeah, definitely. And then you've got, obviously, Isaac Thompson, who we spoke about. He is a base stat kind of guy as well. So he's pretty important fantasy-wise, and he gets that nice discount. He averaged 40 last year across his two games, which, you know, puts him a couple hundred K underpriced. So someone, if he can come out and do that, you know, they have a tough draw to start in terms of those good teams, but a lot of it's going to be base for him and on the right side, not their strongest side, but I still think that base will be able to score him enough. And I personally would be playing him in this side. You're either picking him to play him straight up, or he's just out of your team, I think.
Yeah, cool. So where would you? He's only center, which is not ideal. Do you think he does get that wing fullback update after TLT?
Yes.
Yeah, cool. So him in for Talau.
I think that's fine. Yeah, if you're going to do that, pop him in the wing fullback. I hadn't even thought about that too much. I just had him in my centers, locked and loaded there, because I'm going at the moment fairly cheap. But yeah, we'll find out after team list.
I could definitely downgrade Stags and go from there. Let's quickly touch on the bench, because Hopgood, I feel like in the fantasy community, he was very touch and go about 2 months ago, but now it's looking like an absolute must have.
Yeah, there's a few. I didn't know a lot about him. Obviously, seen a couple of his games, but it looks like he's even taken a step up in his gameplay. And he almost looks captaincy material in fantasy at the moment. Yeah. It's incredible. Does a bit of everything, offloads, tackle breaks.
I mean, in Supercoach, he had 70 points and that basically came all in base in that Māori All-Stars game. In fantasy, yeah. I can imagine it'd be very similar because it did come all in base as well. So
yeah, he had 70 in that game as well. So that's keeper level. That's, you know, Cleary average 65 last year, for example. That's a lower year for him, but that's, you know, captaincy material. He won't do that every game, but those first 3 weeks without Matto, without their edges, he's just going to play big minutes and score awesome. So he has to start. He has to be in everyone's side. Tanner, yeah, again, mixture of the goal kicking, the kick meters in general play. Titans liking to put a lot of points on dual position, locked and loaded.
I could see 400 meters of kick meters a game. I don't see Foran kicking a whole lot.
Yeah, he'll organise a bit, won't he, Warren, and just run his left side, I'd say, which would be good. 40, he's a TLT decision. We'll find out in a couple of hours, which is cool. Just a weird one with Joshy Curran, if you know what's happening on with
feels
him on
like
the bench.
Just, feels like he's massively out of favour, eh? I don't know what's happened, but it feels like he's just not wanted.
Yeah, there's probably still 50 minutes for him, isn't there, Curran, if you know Niokoro moves to the middle?
Yeah, I don't know. I think Ford, I mean, if he gets a start at 340, it's kind of hard to pass up on, isn't it, with the handy Jill?
He has a nice work rate as well. Obviously, a lot of time in the middle he's spent, but that work rate's going to be, you know, a little bit lower. But still, if he's that type of guy looking for work, then that's what we want in fantasy. Trent the Oro, he had an interesting trial, very low scoring fantasy-wise. So definitely something to look into. But he hasn't played a lot of games on an edge. You know, he has some games where he scored 20-odd. He has some games where he scored 70 in his very small sample size. So I feel like he can be hit and miss. He could come out and get a 30 round one. He's like, oh, that was a bit of a waste of time. Could have downgraded to one of these, you know, cheaper guys, depending who gets named in TLT.
But I could definitely start the next bloke we're going to talk about.
Yeah, for sure. If he gets a start as well, running off Dewey there, then Blorey could be a starter. So Leoro and Ford, obviously TLT decisions type of thing, you know, depending on how your team ends up. And Sonny Luke, you know, if the rumors are true, I know Guru is talking a lot about Sonny Luke coming in and playing sort of that 50 minutes. He's going to need at the moment with his PPM. He was averaging, you know, 26 minutes for, you know, 12.5 points last year in fantasy, which does not make you any money. Let's say that.
Okay, that was one thing I wanted to ask you about. What makes you money at 230K?
Their price is 16, and then the 250K guys are at 17. So really, you know, anything in the mid 20s, if you get sneak a 40 in there, you're making plenty of bank.
Awesome. Yeah, look, definitely a couple of things to consider. I think for me, Staggs is up in the air. Talao, you know, maybe coming in for Thompson if Thompson does get it. And then obviously Liero and Ford. I mean, Sammy Walker is also a bit of a narrative. But my friend, you have been an absolute godsend. You've helped the Supercoach community get into fantasy. You and I have the same belief. We don't need to have this divide. You know, both games are good in their own way. And I think, yeah, if you enjoy watching pure footy in terms of kick meters, tackles, runs, fantasy is the way to go. If you like to live life on the edge and watch AJ fall over the line and get 70 points, then Supercoach is the place to be. But, mate, where can everyone find your fantastic stuff?
Easiest place, guys, just the NRL Fantasy Analysis in YouTube there. That's where I do everything. We've got the Discord group as well, which you'll see the links in the description when you jump in there as well. But, yeah, big thank you to everyone for watching this video. And I will be posting one Supercoach video per week, guys. It's going to be a longer form one. It's going to go over my results for the week. It's going to go through the must-haves or the trades I think, you know, I suggest that you should make in your sides, and then my trades all in that same video. So that will be on a Wednesday. So look out for that. Just one a week for Supercoach at the moment. It'll be about that half an hour mark. And I hope you guys find plenty of value. And I don't think there's too many guys that clearly go over their team week to week on Supercoach. So if you like that type of content, then jump on.
Yeah, I'm very tempted to do the same for fantasy. I'll see what your schedule's like. We might be able to, you know, do something like this once a week, but who knows? I reckon, yeah, doing up to date. I've always been a big fan of being up to date. I know a couple of content guys like to keep their teams private and their trades private, but
yeah,
I mean, I don't really care. But it each their own. But mate, you've been an absolute legend. Thank you so much for jumping on. And yeah, good luck for the season. Good luck for TLT. Hopefully, it doesn't send you mad.
Nah, I'm more just like, I finally get to TLT and I was like, oh, we finally actually know. So there's obviously a lot of speculation. I just finally can get in there, rip into my own team. And then I've got plenty of people to help with my private group as well and everything like that. So very excited to get everyone's teams ready and loaded. And, you know, so many people told me last year that they, you know, got in the top 200, top 100 with my help. So that's why I'm here and that's why I do this.
The best thing, isn't it? I love September and people like, oh, I won my work head-to-head, won my work cashier. Yeah. It's like, oh, man, that's the best. Like, oh, honestly, best thing ever. So but, cool. Mate, yeah, we'll talk and good luck with TLT.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.